The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
When are you guys going to admit that you were wrong about inflation?
No easy questions today, huh?
The Treasury Secretary says that she was wrong, so why doesn't anybody okay. here at the White House?
Okay, so look, what the Secretary was pointing out, this was talking about yesterday when she was doing her hit her TV hit with CNN, is that there have been shocks to the economy that have exacerbated inflationary pressures which couldn't have been foreseen 18 months ago. And our goal is now to transition to steady and stable growth as inflation is brought down, as Brian Deese said yesterday to all of you when he was standing behind this podium. So the present economic plan, as we see it, is working.
Yeah, everything's working just perfectly. Yesterday on the show, you'll remember if you saw it, we talked about how that this is just the perfect plan for Barack Obama, as he's got the incompetent puppet out front and everybody claiming ignorance, or in some cases saying they're sorry or that they got it wrong, like Janet Yellen said. But here's a case where, you know, she just says the silent part out loud. Yeah, it's working. Our economic plan is working. This is all by design. And as for a few of the bumps along the way, I mean, it's impossible. It would have been impossible to foresee this 18 months ago. Really? Like we read to you yesterday from that Sundance piece. They've got access to all of the, certainly a lot more information than you have access to. This is what they've wanted. From the beginning, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on their platform. They've got several replays through the day as well. And, of course, to get to our video stream, we offer that exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you right to the live stream page. It comes to you every day, every weekday at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Every day we pack more into 1 hour than some 3 and 4 hour programs put into their shows. And that's not thanks to me. It's thanks to our wonderful team. And of course, we've got some guidance from above as well, which we always look to each and every day. Hard to believe it's Friday, heading out of town this afternoon, so just a little bit distracted. This morning I was trying to nurse a little baby bird back to health. If I can pull that up, I think it's a scarlet tent. There you can see it. Recovering from a concussion. Flying right into my window, my office window, right as I was preparing for this program. And there I am. I was actually able to hold it. I had better footage, but this is what Sam was able to get at the very last second. But I was able to hold it for a while, and then after petting it for some time, and it was a little bit groggy, eyes closed for a while, and then finally it then didn't take off. We haven't had much bird footage in recent months, but be assured that I'm still filling up the bird feeders and still observing them and enjoying them. In fact, I haven't seen one of these to my feeder, so there you go. He cracks his head in my window, and I'm introduced to a new bird that I haven't seen before in these parts. Beautiful, beautiful little creature. We're also taking care of a little baby killdeer as well. I thought he was going to have a partner there for a while. We've had him in a cage at night, and then we let him out in the front yard in the morning. He still is unable to fly, but maybe we can get some footage of him before he gets too big and takes off to join the wild as well. I wanted to update you on Celtic Throne here before we got off and running as well. It's hard to believe that Monday is the premiere for this summer production. We've had it the last two summers, and this one's even bigger and better than the shows previous to this. We're always working to tweak a few things, to add some elements, to maybe work on the choreography here and there. A lot of it will be similar to what you'll remember from a year ago. But if you saw it, if you saw it last year, or you saw it the year before in particular, you're going to be delighted to just see a lot of new faces, even some new songs and some new choreography. It really is an amazing production. I saw the rehearsal on Wednesday afternoon. Top notch from beginning to end. And so it premieres here in Edmond, Oklahoma, at the beautiful Armstrong Auditorium right here on this campus. That's Monday night at 7:30, and all the dancers had a street performance in downtown Edmond yesterday or last night. So hopefully that will generate a few more ticket sales. I think we're very near to 500 people attending the first show Monday night. So hopefully that will increase over the weekend as we make a few more last-minute ticket sales. Next Thursday, the show will be in Denver, Colorado. I didn't write down the venue, but if you just go to CelticThrone.com, you can get to all of the performances for this summer, and there's links to all the cities that the cast will be visiting. So it's Denver, Colorado next Thursday, almost a week or a little less than a week away. I think there's about 400 people that are scheduled to attend that thus far. And then just a few days after Denver, the following Monday, this is Monday, June 13th, at Rapid City, South Dakota, a small city. Lots of tourists, of course, go through there because of Mount Rushmore every summer. And right now we're looking at about 450 people that have purchased tickets for that performance in Rapid City. So that's Monday night, June 13th, and then there's quite a few shows after that. Amarillo, Huntsville, Alabama, Nashville, Tulsa, I think Branson, Missouri as well is on there. So if you're anywhere near some of those cities, make sure that you go to CelticThrone.com to see where it's playing and when it's playing near you, so that hopefully we can see you this summer. I'm hoping to attend three or four of the shows on the road myself, so it may be that I'll be out and about as well. So the Joe Bama people, they're doing everything possible to destroy the economy, and this is what they want. It's all going according to plan. They're doing everything possible to destroy America's southern border. They've just lifted the gates on the border. No restrictions. People streaming in by the tens of thousands every month. They're turning American cities into crime-infested no-go zones. That's right. Even as they talk about guns, even as they talk about saving the children, they're letting criminals off scot-free in some cases. Just a slap on the wrist in some cases. Even as they try to handcuff law enforcement. And they've been doing this for years. They've been doing this going back to the first and second president or term of Obama. He's in his third term now. But he was working to handcuff law enforcement all through his administration, for sure. They've destroyed America's energy independence. No drilling, no leases for drilling. They've stopped all of that. They're now doing away with the Second Amendment, or trying to anyway, so that they can take away your rights, your constitutional rights, to defend yourself. It's America under attack. As we wrote about back in 2013, I gave you a quote from this just yesterday on the show. It was this one. Many people can see that these are disastrous decisions, but we must understand that this isn't simply the result of ineptitude on the part of this administration, speaking of Obama, or naivete about how the world really works. We are seeing the after effects of a calculated, aggressive, satanic attack aimed at weakening and ultimately destroying the nations of Israel. It says, starting with the world's most powerful nation, that would be the United States of America. The attempt to blot out even the name of Israel. This is what we, as I said on yesterday's show, I mean, this is what we have to view all of these statements. This is the lens through which we see everything with respect to America and what's happening to the United States. As I say, sometimes they just come right out and say it. Yeah, this is great. This is what we wanted. This is what we wanted from the beginning. regarding the disastrous Afghanistan pullout, my father said in October 2021, I believe Barack Obama intended Biden to take the flak for what has happened here. Of course he does. And like I said yesterday, he's going to milk this for as long as he can. And their acts of desperation in some cases, you have to wonder what they're thinking about the midterms, knowing how dreadfully unpopular these policies are. I'm sure they're working overtime to try to see how they can steal it. I've got more on election stealing in just a bit. This comes from the Associated Press. Something that happened down in Yuma, Arizona. But just to finish these points on the Biden economy, they're now looking to just pump trillions of dollars, ultimately, into relieving student loan debt. I think students in America, it's tens of millions of them. It's something like $1.7 trillion in U.S. student loan debt. And these communists have, for the longest time, they've wanted to waive all of that. They want you, basically, to pay. I mean, somebody has to pay for it. So the taxpayers have to pay. Think about all of these individuals that have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to Ivy League schools, maybe to get a degree in gender studies. And now regular, everyday, average Joe American's going to have to pay that off, I guess. This is at National Review. They think it's a trial balloon, this Corinthian College debt. Biden's Department of Education announcing yesterday that they'll cancel, I think it's $5.8 billion in debt for those who attended this now defunct educational system, Corinthian colleges. Wall Street Journal says here, the Education Department estimated that 560,000 student borrowers would be affected by the move involving the defunct for-profit education company over at National Review. It says, this may be a trial balloon to pave the way for a broader and illegal mass debt forgiveness for student loan borrowers in general. So it's just like another stimulus check that's just going to make the dollar that much weaker. Somebody tweeted out yesterday as a joke, a picture of the $20 bill saying, hey, I like the new design on this $1 bill, because that's about what a $20 bill is worth now. Skyrocketing inflation. And then there's the new White House press secretary, who reads everything, by the way. She can't say one thing off the top of her head. If she's asked a question by Ducey or whoever, she's flipping through the binder looking for the response, looking for the answer. All of it prepared ahead of time. And there she was yesterday saying, the president's economic plan, I mean, the way we see it, it's working. It's working. Yeah. Yeah, they believe it's working. And then last night, of course, the much-anticipated gun-grab speech by the fake president. It's not often that he gives a live address in prime time. Where was he during all of these other disasters of the past 16, 17 months? But when the opportunity is there to grab your guns, to take away your constitutional rights, I mean, that's prime time. That's prime time importance for sure. Congress at this same time is working on or debating the Protect Our Kids Act. All these Democrats lining up to basically use the slain bodies of these little children as an opportunity to make political gains and to take away constitutional rights. Fox News says Biden is expected to appeal, this was yesterday, to appeal to Republicans during his address. He has discounted some Republicans as unreasonable on the issue. However, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is among the reasonable ones, Biden said. But then you listen to his speech last night. It doesn't sound like he's trying to win over support from the other side. It's just as angry and divisive as contentious as ever. Here are some lowlights from the speech, clip 5.
They had one message for all of us. Do something. Just do something. For God's sake, do something. This time we must actually do something. The Second Amendment, like all other rights, is not absolute. This isn't about taking away anyone's rights. It's about protecting children. It's about protecting families. It's about protecting whole communities. Guns are the number one killer of children in the United States of America. The number one killer. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. We should reinstate the assault weapons ban and high-capacity magazines. Enough. 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 We should repeal the liability shield that often protects gun manufacturers from being sued for the death and destruction caused by their weapons. They're the only industry in this country that has that kind of immunity. This time, we have to take the time to do something. And this time, it's time for the Senate to do something. But my God, the fact that the majority of the Senate Republicans don't want any of these proposals even to be debated or come up for a vote, I find unconscionable. And if Congress fails, I believe this time a majority of the American people won't give up either. I believe the majority of you will act to turn your outrage into making this issue central to your vote. Enough, enough, enough. My fellow Americans, enough. Enough. It's time for each of us to do our part. It's time to act.
Central to your vote. I mean, I guess they thought Roe v. Wade was really going to be a feather in their cap. They haven't said much about that recently, by the way. I guess they've moved on from Roe v. Wade. Now they're on to this. But yet, what do ordinary Americans think? He feels like this is going to be a winner at the ballot box, really? I mean, it's all politics for these people. It's all about politics. It's all about staying in power. And you know, as I said the other day, you know he's taking God's name in vain over and again. So you know it's serious. This time it's serious. This time we're going to do something. I guess they couldn't do anything at Sandy Hook. That's back when Obama was in charge. I guess they couldn't accomplish anything then. But now it's serious. Now they're going to go after your guns. Now they're going after the AR-15s because, you know, the military, they use the AR-15s, don't they? No, but that's another, leave that aside. These are military-style weapons. If they're semi-automatic, we got to get rid of them. We've got to do it for the kids. Listen to this representative. I'm not sure what region he represents, but he's basically saying, hey, do away with the supreme law of the land, all in the name of just helping the kids. This is Representative Jones yesterday, clip one.
Enough of your thoughts and prayers. Enough. Enough. You will not stop us from advancing the Protecting Our Kids Act today. You will not stop us from passing it in the House next week, and you will not stop us there. If the filibuster obstructs us, we will abolish it. If the Supreme Court objects, we will expand it, and we will not rest until we have taken weapons of war out of circulation in our communities.
I wonder what his community is like, actually. Wherever he represents, I can't read it there, but it's probably a bigger city, and crime is probably out of control. But it's the gun's fault. It's all the gun is the problem. And there he is basically saying, look, if we don't get our way, we'll blow up the Constitution. We'll blow up the Supreme Court. These are lawless actors. They're communist infiltrators. And the real target here is not the gun. They're not looking to protect children. They're going after the Constitution. Barack Obama, in that interview from the early 2000s, he lamented the fact that there's just too many constraints in the Constitution. Or in this case, freedoms that allow for you to own a firearm, to protect yourself and to protect you and your community from tyranny. That's the way the founders drew it up. And they know this, and they hate it. This is another representative. I think he comes from Rhode Island. Listen to his bizarre claim from yesterday, clip two.
I don't think there is a single incident, and maybe there's one, but I've not found one, of an assailant using an assault weapon that was stopped by a person with a gun.
Not a single instance. How do you educate someone this ignorant? He's in Congress. There's not been a single instance, I guess he means in American history, where a good guy with a gun has stopped a bad guy. There was a pretty high profile incident last week. I forget where it was. But a good guy with a gun that took out a shooter. And how many more, how many tens of thousands of cases in American history? Okay, there. If a murderer is intent on murdering someone, it's going to be hard to stop him. But there have been a lot of law enforcement officials and private citizens that have stopped an attack with a firearm. As I say, this is drawn up in America's founding documents. In so many ways, it's what makes America unique. I'm sure there's lots of people abroad that don't like it, that don't like that Second Amendment. There's lots of people right here in America that don't. Listen, though, to Molly Hemingway, her take on Biden's speech from last night, clip 3.
I think it's comforting for simple-minded people to think that restricting the natural right to keep and bear arms would solve all of our problems, that destroying the Constitution would solve our problems. That is not true, and we have a natural right of self-defense and to guard against tyranny in the Second Amendment. This is something that makes us American. And Joe Biden showed that he does not respect the Constitution. He does not support this natural right. That really is an impeachable offense to talk this way against something so foundational to the country. This is a really extreme agenda, and he is misguided if he thinks this is going to be a political winner for him. I know they're desperate, but this is not going to sell well in this country.
She's completely right. It's an impeachable offense. Think about Donald Trump getting impeached for a phone call. And here's Joe Biden basically saying, yeah, I want to come after the Second Amendment. I want to take away all these magazines. I want to get rid of these rifles. And he just gives the speech and then carries on. We'll see how much of it translates into action. Lots of fighting over this, no doubt, in the weeks and months ahead. But when will we be on to the next subject? As I say, 2 seconds ago, it's Roe v. Wade. And now here we are onto the gun grab. I'm not trying to make light of this as if it's not a serious attack. I mean, America is under attack. And it's coming from every direction. But God's also exposing a lot of this. And like she brings out, is this really going to be a winner in November? Speaking of November, this is that Associated Press report on the fraud in Yuma County. And the thing that makes this report just so compellingly interesting, just from a exposing wrongdoing standpoint, is if you remember, if you watched 2000 Mules, the Dinesh D'Souza documentary, there was a witness, I think the identity was concealed, but basically there was this witness describing, this is just one case, and the AP wants you to know that it's just one case. It's not really that big a deal. It certainly wouldn't have swung a big presidential election. There was some fraud, maybe 12 ballots or so. But this witness in the documentary 2000 Mules said, yeah, there's these mules all over the place, and they're really trying to prey on, Mexican residents that either have don't know the language as well or haven't been in America for very long. And these ballot harvesters going into these communities basically trying to get their votes, filling out the ballots themselves. The AP says here, an Arizona woman indicted in 2020 on accusations of illegally collecting ballots apparently ran a sophisticated operation using her status as a well-known Democratic operative in the border city of San Luis. So here's a well-known Democrat operative, Guillermina Fuentes. She's 66, it says. Fuentes, a former San Luis mayor who serves as an elected board member of the Gadsden Elementary School District in San Luis. Board member of the school, mayor of the city, Democrat operative, and cheater. Stealing elections. Harvesting ballots. Says here, Fuentes is accused of collecting ballots during the 2020 primary election, Republicans have rallied around the possibility of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election, where former President Donald Trump was defeated. They've pointed to the charges against Fuentes as part of a broader pattern in battleground states. The records show, this is the AP, you know, just to make sure to make sure that you don't blow this out of proportion. The records show that fewer than a dozen ballots could be linked to Fuentes. Yeah, she's this high-profile Democratic operative, and she just wanted to cheat 12 times. She only wanted to get 12 ballots, and then she's done. You know, just kind of dabble in stealing elections, creating fake ballots. It says here, investigators said it appears she used her position as a powerful figure in the heavily Mexican American community to get people to give her or others their ballots to return to the polls. And the reason, as I say, this stood out to us is because it fits perfectly with what this whistleblower said in Dinesh's documentary. Of course it's widespread. The AP article even brings that out, even as they're trying to downplay this as not that big of a deal. To finish off, it says, Fuentes was at a card table set up by supporters of a slate of city council candidates and was spotted with several mail-in ballot envelopes, pulling out the ballots and in some cases marking them. It says the ballots were then taken inside the cultural center and deposited in a ballot box. All of this is caught on tape. It says although Fuentes is charged only with the actions that appear on the videotape and involve just a handful of ballots, investigators believe the effort went much further. Yeah, how much further did it go in the presidential election? This was from a primary. How much further did it go in November of 2020? How much further will it go in the next election if this sort of behavior isn't stopped, if these kinds of people aren't put in jail? That's from the Associated Press. When we come back, we'll just touch on the Queen's jubilee in the UK. Quite a bit of news on that, especially over across the pond. And then we'll conclude today with our Bible study, and hopefully we'll have some time for some email feedback as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send feedback to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
My father's trumpet brief went out last night. The awesome secret behind the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Says here, Queen Elizabeth II has been on her throne for 70 years. Her Platinum Jubilee is being celebrated today. This was from yesterday. Yet amid the pageantry, a dark cloud hangs over the royal family. Yeah, it's been there for a number of years. Her health, of course, I mean, you have to give it up to her for the longevity of this woman's reign. 70 years, that's remarkable that she's held up this strong through quite a lot of turmoil, particularly in the last many years. Harry and Meghan were in London and present at Buckingham Palace watching the military parade and such, but they weren't up with the Queen at the palace balcony because they're no longer working royals. Prince Andrew, he's been fraught with scandal as well. He was conveniently enough away because of COVID. But you look at what has happened to that family, to that throne. As my father brings out, he wrote, "The monarchy is plagued by Prince Andrew's sexual abuse lawsuit and Prince Harry's new memoir." It says, "Meanwhile, opinion polls show that 27% of Britons want to abolish the monarchy altogether." It says, "Finally, Britain has fallen from the greatest empire in the world, in world history, into a terrible state, and you need to understand why." In the Trumpet Brief, he goes through the fact that they've forgotten God. He refers you to the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, Mr. Armstrong's classic work on Bible prophecy, the United States and Britain. We focus enough on the U.S. on this show, for sure. But what about Britain? The United States and Britain in prophecy, the greatest empire in the history of the world, and in the case of the U.S., the greatest single superpower nation in history. And what has happened to our nations? Why are they coming under attack? Why is the throne in Britain coming under attack? Well, we have a lot to say about that throne, not just in U.S. and Britain in prophecy, but our book, The New Throne of David. That's an electrifying study in itself. Came out in 2017, and we do have a fair bit to say about the old throne of David. Of course, this is history that the British royal family has completely forgotten. The fact that they're connected to their descendants of King David. You can go through the history here. Nobody else understands this. Nobody knows this. It's all been forgotten. It's all been erased. I mean, this is what Satan is so good at, just blotting out the truth. We're going to talk more about truth next week in one of our Bible studies. So many wonderful scriptures about truth. Jesus said about himself, "I am the truth." That's in John 14, I believe. But this world has rejected God, his truth, the true gospel that Jesus proclaimed. And the world is just descending into darkness. And even in the midst of all of this darkness, as I said on yesterday's show, God expects for us to be people with high morale, esprit de corps. We've got to stay positive, even while we're engaged in battle. That's difficult to do. In the Overcomer booklet, this is the other one I've been drawing attention to this week. In the Overcomer booklet, this comes from chapter 6, it says, "God's church is full of spiritual troops whose morale God wants us to lift up. When God's people have high morale, they are a fearsome force." When we've got the high morale, when we've got God backing us, nothing will stop the work of God. Nothing will stop the army of God. Nothing will stop the people of God. There's a great verse in chapter 6, covered in chapter 6. It's Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. It says, "For the joy of the eternal is your strength." God's joy. You go through the fruits of the Spirit, as I said yesterday, Galatians 5. You get to love, God's love, agape love, and then joy is mentioned next. And really, joy springs from the love of God. If you love God, the joy of the eternal, that's going to be your strength. Philippians 4, remember, verse 8, where it talks about thinking on whatsoever things that are lovely and joyous and peaceable. I may have gotten a few of the words wrong. But God wants us to be thinking about lovely things, joyous things, positive things, all the time. People of high morale. There's a proverb that says a merry heart does good like a medicine. Just having a positive outlook is good for you physically. It's good for your health. Among other things, it's just good for your health. Psalm 149, verse 2, it says, "Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Rejoice in your king. God is our king. Jesus Christ is our coming king, our Lord and Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords. Rejoice in that. Draw strength from that. Isaiah 12 and verse 2, let me read this. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And for the eternal Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Verse 3 says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." Yes, it's difficult. It's a difficult road, a difficult, bumpy, rocky, narrow road that we're on as true Christians. But the blessings, the joy associated with serving God. One last verse in Isaiah. This is chapter 61. And verse 10, it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the eternal. My soul shall be joyful in my God." It says, "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." God has adorned us, and we can greatly rejoice in God. My soul shall be joyful in my God. This is what makes us strong. Now, getting back to some of these verses I've touched on this week about the good war, the warfare that we're in, this noble fight that we're a part of. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll just give you another quote. This again is from How to Be an Overcomer. If you don't have a copy of that, or the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, or America Under Attack, either call now or write down this toll-free number if you're in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean. The number is 1-866-930-3024. And request any of our material. All that we offer on this program is offered without cost, without obligation. The cost for the printing, it's already been paid for. We'll pay for the mailing cost. In the case of the Trumpet magazine, we'll give you a full one-year subscription. That's 10 issues a year coming to your mailbox. And you can renew that at the end of the year and just keep it right on going. And again, no cost, no obligation. We want to give you the truth of God. But this is from How to Be an Overcomer, this quote. My father says, "Are you close enough to Christ? Do you use your prayer closet enough and powerfully enough that you truly have high morale?" I mean, this is where we get that morale. It comes really from our prayers. It says, enough so that just your example helps others to have high morale. It says, we've all faltered in that respect, but it is exactly the areas where we have faltered that we need to attack. It says, know where you have faltered and why you have faltered. And if you fall down, get back up. It says Christ still lives in you. Failure, and I love this, it says failure is only temporary if you're letting Christ live in you and you have high morale. It says a problem is just something you are about to overcome. What a positive way to view problems and weaknesses and sins. Why, it's just a problem that we're about to overcome and conquer. We can't give up. We've got Jesus Christ as our commander in chief. He's our pioneer. He's showing us the way. We're walking in his steps. He gives us high morale. If you fall down, get right back up. And be comforted and encouraged by the fact that Christ still lives in you. This is 1 Timothy 6. Notice verse 11. It says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Paul said to Timothy, look, flee these youthful lusts. That's back in chapter 4. But flee these evil influences and follow after righteousness and godliness and build faith and grow in love and be patient and meek. In other words, overcome your weaknesses. If you trip up, then get up and keep right on moving in the direction of Christ. A problem is just something that you're about to overcome, Timothy. Verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. It is a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. You've been called into this, but look, it's a good profession. It's a good fight, and it's worth it. Laying hold on eternal life. Wow, I mean, God's offering us eternal life in his kingdom, in his family. Fight the good fight. That's 1 Timothy 6. Just notice 2 Timothy 2, a couple pages over. We've touched on some of these verses in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, where it talks about being a good soldier, fighting for God. This is verse 3. It says, you therefore, Timothy, again, it's addressed to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So fight the good fight of faith. It's a good profession. And then be a good soldier. Be a good soldier for God. These are all positive things. I mean, it's obviously talking about warfare and fighting. But to fight for God, to be in this spiritual battle that we're in, what an honor. What an honor to come out of this dark and evil world, this dangerous and perilous place, and to be able to serve our great God, to be overcomers, to fight against our adversary, the devil, to fight to promote the truth. Verse 4, it says, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. We're here to please our commander. We're here to be good soldiers. And a good soldier is not going to be entangling himself in the affairs of this life. Again, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope, we're going to end up miserable. Verse 5 goes on to say, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Paul, throughout his epistles, he talked about competitions and competing for the prize, finishing the race. He was an avid sportsman. And here he is saying, strive for that crown. Strive for masteries, as it says there. But yet strive lawfully. I mean, stay within the bounds of God's law. There's a blueprint that's there for us. God gives us instruction. God shows us the way. Notice 2 Timothy 4. This is right at the end of the epistle. Paul was facing execution. And if ever there was a time to send out a short letter where he just kind of complained about, you know, his trials, his tests, the fact that he's going to have to die. Nobody wants to die physically. But listen to this. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to make the total sacrifice that God is expecting here. I'm ready to give it all up physically in order to serve and obey God, even unto death. Verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. Here again, the same kind of language. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Christianity certainly is a battle. It's like a marathon race in some cases. We've got to give everything we can to keep the faith, to hold on to the truth, to hold fast, as 2 Thessalonians 2 says, to not let go of this precious truth, to not let it slip away, like it says in Hebrews 2, but to hold on, to hold firm, so that you can get to the end of the road and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith. And there's a reward waiting for me. Verse 8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the eternal, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. See, not to Paul only, but to us as well, if we remain steadfast and loyal, if we finish. In the Overcomer booklet, it says here, the way for us to develop high morale is to get our hearts into God's work. The question is, what prevents you from doing that fully? What is holding you back? This is God's work. What holds you back from absolutely throwing yourself into it? We should all have high morale and inspire that in others. Do you inspire others to have high morale, or do you drag them down? See, we go to our prayer closets and we're lifted up. That's where it's really decided. That's where we start this process of rejoicing in God's strength and power and really having the high morale that we need out on the battlefield. But as my father's saying in that same chapter, chapter 6, I mean, the example that we set, I mean, that has an influence on others as well. Just being surrounded by people of courage and strength and faith, that's huge, that kind of impact. There's so many examples in the Bible. You can look at Genesis 14 on your own time when Abraham heard that his nephew was taken captive. I mean, he acted with some high morale. He assembled a small army, and I mean, he organized this private army in order to rescue a family member, a friend. Spiritually speaking, that's the attitude that God wants for us to take. Satan knows. He knows that he cannot defeat God's army. And so what he's looking for are the stragglers, the ones that really aren't faithfully holding fast to God's truth. He's looking for those that suffer from low morale, who aren't positive, who aren't rejoicing in the strength of God, but they're negative, they're critical, they've turned inward, they've abandoned the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about being immersed into that body when you're baptized. And so we really do want to revolve our lives around the church, the mother of us all. We're coming into the Pentecost weekend here. What a lesson there is in the role of the church. Mr. Armstrong has an entire chapter devoted to that subject in Mystery of the Ages. That too is chapter 6. The mystery of the church. Why should it be a mystery? Why did God establish the church? That's all in chapter 6 of Mystery of the Ages. If you don't have that book, please, please call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. A few minutes left here for some email feedback from some of our viewers. This one comes from India. It says here, your Bible study section is a sobering reminder that the world is in chaos and desperately needs God and his spiritual laws and governance more than ever. It says, like an avid and versed teacher, you cover the topic around the purpose of the church. Only one true church, by the way, with much stress on the spiritual growth of each of its members. It says, I like to hear about believers who are called and following the true doctrine, but are not yet a member in the true church. It says, people like me love to hear the encouraging and hopeful words that you have. That's coming from all the way down in India. There's another one here from Australia. It says, thanks again for the awesome show. I was really enjoying the Bible study series you completed the other day with snippets from the message from Herbert Armstrong. A few weeks ago, we ended up having to have services at home because of flooding again, and it was the Sabbath when all the church websites were down. Anyway, seeing as we couldn't access the messages online, we played that very message from Herbert Armstrong, 1985, Pentecost. It was fabulous. Hearing it then, and again, broken down into sound bites through your study. Since we've pulled the children out of the public school system and enrolled them in an online program through a private school, I found those Bible studies to be particularly pertinent and helping me to better understand and appreciate my role as a teacher. So thank you. I mean, that is our role in the Church of God. We're called to be teachers. That's one of the central points that Herbert Armstrong was trying to get across in 1985. I've played some of those sound bites for you in recent weeks. It says here, as you often do, you kept referring to the so-called 81 million votes that O'Biden received in the 2020 election. And I saw something online over the weekend that I found to be rather amusing. It says someone had taken a screenshot of a truth and posted it. It said, remember, Biden received 81 million ballots, not 81 million votes. I realize that typically they're one and the same, but for that election, and as it turns out, the election we had here in Australia a few weeks ago, they're very different. There's a difference between the number of ballots and the number of actual voters, especially when there's lots of fake ballots and lots of ballot harvesting that goes on. It says God wants these men in these positions for a reason, and the exposure has been exponential. Thanks again to you, Richard Palmer, Sam Livingston, and all involved on the Trumpet Daily. It's such a fabulous program and tool for the work. So that one comes from Australia, India, Australia. Not sure where this one's from. It says, I think the U.S. is fast becoming a pagan nation. How in the world could Biden be allowed to become president? It says, liberal Democrats with no morals will sink the ship. And to think that we have two more years of him, if there were not any true believers here, it would be over by now. Time is running out for God to look the other way. This one here says, hey, let's not forget small beginnings. It's a war. Lost a small battle. Durham revealed much unknown. Now let's see where all of this takes us. That's referring to the Sussman case, not convicted, but the larger revelations of what was made known as a result of that case. This viewer says, love your show. Keep up the good work, and God bless everybody in the church and in this sick, twisted world of ours. Another one writes, you do an outstanding job of exposing all the evils of the present days in our American society. Today, the mentioning of Americans turning on one another is a reality that my wife and I have experienced in our healthcare system. It says, after receiving the Pfizer shot last year, my wife and I have been battling her deadly after effects with many healthcare institutions. On and on it goes. And if we mention the shot, they will never hear it. They just won't hear it. On top of all that, she has been treated horribly by most of the healthcare industry, or the healthcare specialists that have offices full of young, woke millennials working there. It's a shame and downright angering, to say the least. And I've got other stories. I just haven't been able to get to them this week. There's been so much else going on. But articles like from the Daily Mail saying the same thing. And they try to say, look, the side effects of these vaccines are rare, but they do happen. And in some of these cases, and the Daily Mail goes through some of the cases and says these family members are trying to get some kind of financial support for these disasters that have come about as a result of the vaccine. And the medical profession, Big Pharma, they won't hear it. They just won't even hear it. Don't come to me with a message other than the vaccine is perfect. Then we'll listen. We'll worship. Another one says here, I've been watching your program for several months now, and I wanted you to know it is great to hear the real news for a change. I really appreciate the Bible studies that you bring us. May God bless you in his work. A couple more short ones here. It says, your recap near the end of today's TD Bible study of the PCG's current state has been on my mind and thanked for in my prayers for some time now. Christ must be excited about how ready his bride is rapidly becoming. What ever-increasing beauty, for sure, thanks to God's immeasurable blessings. A good one for the lead into Pentecost weekend, as I say. One last one here says, if we cannot stop the bloodshed in Chicago, we will not stop loose cannons either. Most of us know that if you outlaw guns, only the bad guys will have them. We just drift farther away from God in this country. And he goes through some of the other things that we've talked about before on this show, drifting far from our Maker. Our Maker, the revealer of truth. That's what we need to get back to. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, we might be able to read it on the air. The email address is td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.